This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Gibson is a political reporter at the Charlottesville Daily Progress and joins us on Monday afternoons to talk politics and other issues. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. It's great to be with you on this day that sort of feels a little like summer, a little like fall. It's like, you know, half the trees have discovered it might be fall, and the other half might soon discover it's fall.
Very well put. We were standing in the yard the other day looking at, well, this tree looks like summer. This tree looks like a beautiful fall.
Some of them are green as they are during the summer, and some of them have really started to turn beautifully, and they're just a little mixed up, actually. They're a little shy of water.
Yeah, yeah. And they say we might get a little bit more rain tonight and tomorrow.
We could use it. We could use all the rain we can get. We're six inches is the Richmond area's drought deficit this year. We are up around a foot or more.
Oh my gosh, your kid for the year?
Yeah, for the year.
Wow.
And they're way down in southwest Virginia where the real fire danger is. That's why the governor had to put that fire ban into effect on Friday so that you can't burn anything out in the woods or the yard through the end of November. I was talking to a guy at the forestry department today, and he said it looks like they're going to keep the burn ban on through November 30th, which is the end of the fall fire season.
Wow. Wow. Just because it's just much too dangerous to have any
dry
kind of fire
and
out
all
there.
These leaves are falling off and adding dry leaves to the mix. So there's really a little relief in sight.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, I enjoyed your conversation yesterday on a WNRN with David Toscano. That was fantastic.
Oh, David is always a good guest. You know, he with 12 years of city council and mayor's 2 years as mayor experience behind him, he has just finished his term as the delegate from Charlottesville in urban Albemarle. And he had a lot of things to say about immigration and some of the issues that have come up this year.
And he is running unopposed.
Of course, as is Rob Bell, as is Creed Deeds.
And that reminds me of your column from Sunday, Colorful Races Are Too Few. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, you have to go about 50 miles to find a good Senate race, more than 50 miles to find a good Senate race with even Steven odds on one side or the other. Most of the races in this area aren't races. I mean, first of all, more than half of the General Assembly is unopposed, which is quite unfortunate, a direct result of redistricting. Shows you how sharp the electronic knife can be when they carve the map.
Explain that really quick for somebody who doesn't understand what you just said.
Every 10 years, the state has to redistrict so that there are roughly the same number of people in every legislative district. And given the electronic tools they have, the software they now have, they can pretty much go down any street they want to and carve district boundaries, and they are very good at putting as many Republicans as they think they need into districts to maintain majority status for a decade. And that's what they did back in 2001. Of course, the Democrats did the same stuff, just without as sharp a knife, an electronic knife, 10 years earlier. So they can go down the street and put the Democrats in one district and put the Republicans in another district. And it is almost to that level that they are carving the 100 House of Delegates districts and the 40 state Senate districts in Virginia to create what they hope is a 10-year majority for their party, the Republicans in this case, the Democrats 10 years before.
I've actually seen at the Sorensen Institute's candidate training program, we do it every January, we had a speaker in this past year, a couple of guys who actually wrote one of these computer programs that states use to do redistricting, and it is, you're right, I mean, it is absolutely amazing. They can go house by house now and say, oh, you're going to be in that district, you're going to be in this district.
It's a classic case of the politicians choosing the voters, which is getting it backwards.
Right, right. And that's where we are now in America.
Yeah, and that's why Larry Sabato and his suggested 23 amendments to the federal Constitution said, number one, first thing we need is nonpartisan redistricting. Now, that's easy to say when you're an academic, and it's easy to say when you're a minority party, but the majority party ain't interested.
Yeah, they never are.
No.
So what we really need to be doing and remembering is to hold the Democrats' feet to the fire now if they manage to get
Absolutely.
Back a majority status and say, okay, you were just a few years ago, you were saying this is what you wanted. Brian Moran was putting forth legislation, so was Creed Deeds.
Creed Deeds had a bill that actually escaped the Virginia Senate. The Senate was moderate enough and close enough, you know, 23 Republicans, 17 Democrats. Some of the Republicans are even campaigning as rhinos. Jean Marie Devlites Davis in Northern Virginia, one of the closest Senate races in the state, is campaigning as a rhino. That's, you know, in most of Virginia, Republicans use that as a derogatory term. She's campaigning on it. I am a Republican in name only.
Which is, Rhino is Republican
right.
in name only.
Right.
She's actually using it as a
positive way to campaign in Northern Virginia.
Enough. Have you ever seen that before?
No. No. The parties are so mixed up, and you know the Republican Party today is, shall we say, it's got several wings and they aren't flapping at the same time in the same direction.
Bob Gibson is a political reporter at the Charlottesville Daily Progress, and we're talking politics here in Virginia. If you'd like to join the conversation, got a phone line open at 977-1070. Any other races come to mind? I know we have Emmett Hanger is over here.
Emmett is not really believed to be in too close a race because his district, he won his close race in June.
Yeah, Scott Sayer.
In the primary. He faced a very serious challenge. They put up a guy who was very anti-tax against Emmett, and they charged him with being a pro-tax guy. And they came close. It was a 52-48 race in that Senate primary. But he survived. Two other Senate moderates did not. Down in the first district in Newport News, the chairman of the Senate Transportation Committee, Marty Williams, lost his primary challenge to Patricia Stahl. She is an anti-tax Republican, and an anti-tax Republican beat Brandon Bell in the Roanoke area district.
Is Patricia Stahl the one that said she doesn't believe in public education?
She has said that. She thinks that education should not be something that is controlled by government.
That's perhaps the most un-Jeffersonian thing I've yet to hear here in a long time.
Well, she's someone who, you know, John Chichester, who's the outgoing head of the Senate Finance Committee and one of the more moderate, some would say liberal Republicans, they wouldn't have said that 10 or 15 years ago, but they say that now, in Virginia, is giving money to the Democrat in that race, John Miller, against his own party's Patricia Stahl because of her she's one of these Republicans who basically will sign a pledge saying, I will never under any circumstances, any time, raise taxes, which sounds good to get elected. But, you know, when you're governing and you're facing a shortfall and you don't cut it all out of government services, where do you find the revenue?
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing when you have the Republican head of the Virginia Senate retires and starts giving money to Democrats because
three
he doesn't
Democrats.
Like what has happened to his party.
He's given to three Democrats. He's given to Chuck Colgan, who is the senior Democrat from Prince William County and the only Democrat in the Senate who is believed to be in as close a race as he might, you know, some say he could be threatened by his Republican challenger this year. Ed Houck, who is in a very Republican-leaning district, but not when it comes to the state Senate election in Central Virginia from the Fredericksburg area, John Chichester gave Ed Houck some money, and he gave John Miller some money down in Newport News. So he's given to three Democratic Senate candidates, and he has been the Republican chairman of the Senate Finance Committee since the Republicans had control.
Now, Bob, you've been following Virginia politics for decades. What do you see what's going on with the Virginia Republicans? It's almost like the leadership is sort of backing themselves into a corner from which it's going to be very difficult to govern and win future races.
Well, it depends on who you mean by the leadership, because it's very fractured. It's very divided. The leadership of the Senate in Virginia has been moderate in the Republican Party. And that leadership survived. You know, Walter Stosch is another senator who was on the moderate side with John Chichester, and he survived a challenge in a primary. John Blackburn came close but did not beat him in a primary back in June. So like Emmett Hanger, he hangs on. Some of the moderates are retiring. Charles Hawkins from the Pennsylvania County area, John Chichester from the Spotsylvania the Stafford, Westmoreland.
Russ
Fredericksburg,
Potts.
Russ Potts from the Northern
Who's
Valley.
Also giving money to Democrats.
Russ Potts is joining John Chichester in giving several thousands of dollars to Democratic candidates for the Virginia Senate. Very unusual.
Yeah,
very, very
really
unusual.
Is.
But the base, the activist base of the Republican Party, doesn't particularly like these moderates. They view them as rhinos, and they are going to purge their party if they get their way.
Bob Gibson is a political reporter at the Charlottesville Daily Progress and joins us on Monday afternoons. And you were celebrating the anniversary of another radio station here in town this past weekend, weren't you?
It was a great celebration. We all got together about 120 strong on Saturday night for a WUVA 60th anniversary reunion. WUVA is where folks like Jay James got his start, and Sarah McConnell, and I got my start
and
back
Bob
there
Gibson
in the early 1970s, reporting on things around the University of Virginia. And it was, we had it at Alumni Hall, and we did not expect as many as 120 people. So it was a great crowd. Folks from California to Atlanta to, you know, all over New York.
That's amazing.
Were down. And it was just a very nice evening. Leonard Sandridge attended from UVA, the chief operating officer and executive vice president. You know, he has a warm spot in his heart for this organization that's not run by the university, but it's run by students at the university and has given so many people a chance to get into broadcasting and journalism careers.
And some people get confused. I'm one of them. WUVA, WTJU, they're sort
both student stations, but WUVA is the granddaddy of them all. 1947, it started in the basement of Madison Hall. In fact, Leonard said that his office is where WUVA started. He now occupies the old studios. I guess they've been redone since then.
Wow, that's something. That's really neat. Cool. Hey, Bob, what's that? Like, if we get an update on the...
And Dick Mountjoy was there. I've got to add, Dick Mountjoy and his wife both came, and it was great to see Dick.
Oh, good, good. Well, he's doing so well. He came in here last week, actually, and was sitting in when I was talking to somebody on the phone.
Yeah.
It was really neat to have him here.
Very nice to see him.
There is something going on with some Republican candidates for the House of Delegates are accused the Democrats in Virginia of being tied to terrorism and Muslim extremist groups or something.
There are a couple of Republican delegates from the Valley, the northern part of the Valley. Clay Athey, who is from the Front Royal area, and Todd Gilbert, who is a delegate from the Woodstock area and in Shenandoah County. And each of them has accused the governor of appointing a Muslim extremist to a state board. Now, we know the story of the gentleman from Fairfax who had to drop off after there were some tapes that were surfaced on YouTube, on the internet, which showed him making rather intemperate remarks.
Yeah, we played them on here.
At anti-war rallies.
Yeah.
They were basically saying that the Palestinians were being treated shabbily by the Israelis. Well, they have gone a step farther than that, and they on Friday released a picture of Governor Kaine standing with a top Muslim American Society official. And this Muslim Society official also presides at a mosque, I think, in Fairfax County, which is one of the largest mosques in the U.S. And there are tremendous numbers of Islamic residents of Fairfax, and they aren't all terrorists, and they resent having these GOP delegates basically drag the name of their mosque, which was, you know, sort of cleared by the 9/11 Commission. The 9/11 Commission said, yeah, two of the guys who were hijacking airplanes did attend this mosque, but, you know, they were sort of driving through town and they came to the largest mosque in the area. There was no connection found by the 9/11 Commission or any other federal investigator between that mosque in Northern Virginia, which is huge, and the 9/11 attacks. There just wasn't a link other than these two guys went to pray there or attended a mosque there. So, you know, to tie those two together and to charge that somehow the governor and his party are need to be investigated because
they're calling for an investigation.
They're calling for an investigation. And the Republicans in Fairfax are saying, hey, you guys, you know, this is a mainstream group in Fairfax County. What are you doing? Why are you doing this to us? Why are you splitting our party with this this nonsense?
And that really speaks to what you were talking about earlier, the fractured nature of the Republican Party here in Virginia.
Well, the moderates in Fairfax County are not appreciative of the efforts of their conservative brethren in the same party over in the Valley to push this as a big issue because basically they don't view these guys as extremists.
Right, right. And the logic is, well, if the governor, you know, Muslims are terrorists, and so then if the governor knows a Muslim, he must know terrorists,
and he
must be a terrorist himself.
It's classic guilt by association, and there's nothing that anybody has found to it, and it looks to the Republicans like the Republicans in Fairfax are fearing a backlash.
Yeah, which they certainly could see. And it also looks like these guys bringing these charges look pretty desperate politically. Looks like a little political desperation here right up before an election.
Well, it does look like it's election season. You wonder, you know, why 3 weeks and then 2 weeks before an election
that we're hearing about
this. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Bob Gibson writes for the Charlottesville Daily Progress. You can read his work in the paper and online at dailyprogress.com. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.